GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
The president of the University of Maine flagship campus and University of Maine Machias, Joan Farini-Mundy. Madam President, welcome back. George, we want to tell the Madam President that Jim Settley of the UMaine School of Policy and International Affairs was just on our program. And he said, if we wanted to know what he actually does there, we need to ask you. I don't know if you're ready to field that question, Madam President.
Gosh, Rick, if I had to tell you everything that Jim Settley does, all the fantastic things he does as the director of SPIA, it would take all day. But suffice it to say, he's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, I've been a big fan of Jim for a long time. Madam President, welcome back.
Thank you, George.
And speaking of welcoming back, you're ready to welcome back. I don't know if you've got an estimate of how many students to, I don't know if you want to talk about Orono or Orono and Machias together, Madam President.
Well, we're very excited to be having our Maine Hello on Friday and welcoming back about 1,900 first-year students, 400 transfer students, and 8,500 other students for online and in-person classes this fall. We're down a little bit, but we have fantastic offerings and we're ready to go.
The decline would match, as I understand it, a national trend of fewer students enrolling in college, some of it maybe because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but it's a longer trend that's been going on, smaller high school classes, smaller numbers coming in. It does translate to an economic problem, though, in the long term, does it not?
It absolutely does. You know, I think you're correct. It's a national trend, and here in Maine and in the Northeast in general, K-12 demographics are shifting and fewer high school graduates and then fewer of them going on to higher ed, it's a challenge for us. Economically, it's a challenge in lots of different ways. We, of course, want our students to succeed, and we know that the four-year education that we provide for them will improve their own earning prospects over their lifetimes and careers, and so we want them to have that advantage, and that's an economic consideration for them. But for us, we need to focus very carefully on enrollment and recruitment and on student retention, on keeping our students here, helping them find success, and we have lots of things in place to work on that, because otherwise we do see challenges to the budget.
Even as we see the college, the university, addressing these economic challenges as they might be headed our way, at the same time, you're keeping a close eye on tuition, as always, making sure that it remains affordable for those that either are in-state, Madam President, or those that want to come to Maine from out-of-state.
Absolutely. It's our mission as a public university to be sure that we are affordable and available, particularly to the people of Maine. And to our out-of-state students who enrich our community greatly, including our international students, by the way, where our numbers are up a bit. And so we continue to watch very carefully how to create a wonderful mix of students in this university.
Well, the University of Maine system, of which you are part, has seven universities, and then you add the University of Maine School of Law. There is an enrollment drop, I guess, across the system. We're not just picking on Orono alone. But the numbers are interesting, but not the only thing that you look at, really. The quality of students. Tell me about that, the recruitment, getting high-quality students in.
Well, you know, we are a system, and at the University of Maine in particular, we want to attract the students who will benefit from what we can offer, and we want to meet them where they are. And so we are seeing terrific quality. At the same time, we're seeing that the pandemic has disrupted everything for everyone, really, and in particular, the high school education of the students who are coming here has been disrupted and has been largely online for a couple of years now, and so we want to be sure that we're offering all of the services and supports and scaffolding that we can for students in order to help them be successful here, because we believe strongly that we can nurture their talent and help them find a path toward a fulfilling career and life. So our faculty, our staff, we're all poised to support student success in a variety of ways.
We're talking with the University of Maine President Joan Farini-Mundy, also president of the University of Maine Machias, an example of strong multitasking skills, I guess, in our state. And we also do wonder about, here we are, I'll say, emerging from COVID, although there are still some concerns And I wonder how that is playing into the University of Maine Orono's plans to move forward. I should just say University of Maine. I know, George, don't look at me like that. I'm the one with the degree. You just have the license plate, okay? How the University of Maine is now moving forward.
Well, of course, the COVID pandemic and all of its consequences have become a major focus for us. We have a science advisory board that's comprising UMaine faculty and USM faculty. It's a system-wide organization, and we continue to meet and talk about the evolution of the pandemic, and it indeed affects how we think about what we do. This semester, we are requiring that any student who plans to participate in any on-campus or system-sponsored experience must be fully vaccinated for COVID-19, and we strongly encourage the booster shots as a way to prevent severe cases. There's a campus safe return testing for students who are living in our residence halls, and they'll need to arrive on campus with evidence of a negative test or take a test when they arrive. We'll have free tests available too. We're not doing asymptomatic testing this semester, but we are reserving system-wide, of course, the right to know that the guidance may be revised. This pandemic continues to evolve in unexpected ways, and we want to always comply with public health best practices. So we're shifting a bit toward a personal responsibility for public health and safety kind of stance, and at the same time we have in place the tools that we need, including masking, including available testing for symptomatic individuals, and also encouraging vaccination boosters.
I know that you have a clinic coming up 2 days from now, a vaccination clinic for students. That's going to be August 26th in Memorial Union. The question someone asked me, and I don't have an answer for it, can individual professors have rules for their own classrooms, or is it system-wide or university-wide? Are there any exceptions there?
That's a great question, George. Actually, right now, the policy is that masks are face coverings generally are optional, but of course welcome. Except in instructional classrooms where they are currently required, but faculty may waive those requirements if they so choose, and we are urging that everyone be respectful of the decisions that individuals make as well as what those faculty choose to do. But we will see, I'm sure, a variety of approaches to face coverings across the campus, and again, encourage individuals to do what is best for them individually and, of course, with public health in mind.
That answers a question that a listener had. I believe they are looking at their student who is now coming to classes at the University of Maine, and they're wondering if they will have to mask up in the classroom or whether in a public space. And I guess just to clarify the answer for the listener who might be confused now that I've said that, is if you are in a classroom setting, whether it be 5 students, 10 students, or the lecture hall in which I took Eco 101, masking is a factor.
Yes. Yes. The default is that masks are required in those settings, and then the individual faculty have the right to waive that requirement if they so choose. And many did last semester. So we will, students will know as they get to class what the policy will be in their classroom.
So I'll take it to where you thought I would probably end up. We are certainly going to bring the public on campus very quickly because the fall sports are underway, in fact, already underway, and football is not far behind. What can the public expect to do or be required to do when they come on campus?
Okay, so currently, as a change from last semester, neither proof of vaccination nor a negative test are required to enter our facilities for these public events, whether indoors or out. But again, we want to emphasize that that could change, and we hope people will be understanding of that possibility if circumstances change with this pandemic. But for now, we are looking to individuals to use their best judgment and to be safe relative to the public health issues.
I also wondered if now that, and I recall the last time that you were on with us, Madam President, the university is celebrating the the R1 rating. And for those that don't know, could you remind our listeners what the University of Maine and the achievement of reaching this R1 rating is and what it means?
Thanks. Always love to talk about our research enterprise. Universities like us, land-grant flagship universities, are engaged in research. Much of it's federally funded and undertaken by our world-class faculty and engaging our students. And there are rating systems for universities that rate them in terms of their research productivity and extent and related factors. And this is the Carnegie Foundation that has defined what these ratings and categorizations are. And last year, the University of Maine moved from being an R2, a high research university, to a very high research university with an R1 designation. Fewer than 4% of research universities have this designation, and it's a very big, very, very big deal for us, a tribute to the great work of our faculty and staff and students in advancing the research mission. Mm-hmm. And what it means really is that we are now part of a relatively elite group of universities that have this designation, that can claim it as they apply for grants, as we try to attract faculty and retain them here, as students choose a university where they'll be able to get engaged in research, which we're also emphasizing that they're able to do from the beginning. And so it's a wonderful thing for this university and for the state that we now have a Research One public university.
And the reason I ask that is I wondered if you are seeing any of the benefits, any of the fruit from that achievement. I expected that maybe, all right, it's an R1, more kids are going to enroll, or it's an R1, mm-hmm. more qualified faculty are going to be knocking on the door saying, hey, do you have any openings?
Yep. Well, you know, I think some of both. We're certainly hearing from faculty candidates as they take a look at us and we hire. We're hearing that they're well aware that it's an R1 institution. We also hear from graduate students who often at the PhD level are trying to choose a place where their own prospects after graduating will be strong, and naturally this designation is attractive to them. And for undergraduates, we're doing all that we can to help convey what it means to be R1, but maybe even more fundamentally, what it means to say that you as an undergraduate coming to the University of Maine, and indeed coming to any campus in our system, you are able, through the funding of the Harold Alphon Foundation, actually, to participate in research in your very first semester, because then we can integrate research and teaching and have students come away with real hands-on experiential opportunities to solve problems that can make a difference in the world.
With insight into what's going on the flagship campus of the University of Maine system and what Jim Settle actually does for a job up there, we appreciate that as well. Madam President Joan Farini-Mundy, thank you for joining us this morning on the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.